counting flowers on the wall. That don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. It's good to see
you. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. Still got a bunch of texts to get to here. Oh, what was the cause of the Civil War? I can't believe this is the hot button issue of the day. Clearly a plant, but it inspires such meaningful discussion. We can revisit if you so choose. 251-343-0106. However, joining us now on the line, he's running in the 1st Congressional District, the newly drawn 1st Congressional District for the Republican nomination. Jerry Carl, our congressman, is on the line with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jim. Happy New Year, buddy.
Hey, Happy New Year. Well, we're almost to Happy New Year, but happy forthcoming New Year. I don't know.
Anyway. I won't be able to talk to you between now and then, so Happy New Year's.
Fair enough. Tell us, how is the campaign going for you?
Campaign's going well. We're excited what we're seeing. We're trying to keep our time equally between the new district and the old district. And the new district is really, really, those folks are really turning out for us over there. We're really encouraged. The elected officials are reaching out to us. They're helping us get meetings set up. We're speaking where we can speak. Next week we'll be over there. I think we're speaking to the Coffee County Ladies Republican Group, which is a real driver over there as far as politics are concerned. They're equal to, you know, some of the groups there in Baldwin County, for example, just really drive a lot of votes. So we'll be speaking there, and we have some other engagements over in the Wiregrass as well as back here in Baldwin County, Mobile. So we're all over the place next week. I get off my vacation here this week.
Well, tell me this, does it feel hectic? Does it feel any different than when you ran in 2020? I mean, do you get the sense of like an urgency given March 5th is just right around the corner?
Well, it is a different race because if you think about the 2020 race, it lasted for well over a year. This race, although I started working over the Wiregrass making connections 6 or 7 months ago, we truly didn't know what our district lines were until, you know, 60 days ago or so. So it's going to be a much faster, it's a sprint kind of a race. You know, the only good thing is, you know, I'm sprinting and my opponent's sprinting too. So now we've got to figure out, you know, how much we can dig into one another's pockets and you know, get votes, get our message out and get ourselves separated from some issues and, you know, the way we do business and so on and so forth. So it hasn't gotten negative yet. We truly expect it to go negative from the signs that we've seen. So once that hits, January 1st is going to be a magic time, we think. We think everything's going to light up and people will start paying attention to it. The debate that we have coming up, I think you're going to be one of the moderators in that. We hope a very positive turn for us. So we're excited about that. I mean, we've already started the prep for the debate. So I don't know that I've ever been a real good debater, but my sisters tell me I can argue, but that usually involves more than just debating.
Well, I always remember Paul Barnes, and when you were running for county commission.
Oh yeah.
For whatever reason, the Republican Party, young Republicans at the time, invited me to come moderate a debate. I guess it was more of a forum. It's a crowded field, but you prevailed in that race, and then there's like one other time, Daphne in that cycle, and it was still all you guys up on the stage, and I got to moderate that debate as well. So it seems like you got a pretty decent track record going for you there, Congressman.
Well, I've never had a race that I didn't have a debate or multi debate, even as county commissioner back in 2011. I think we had two or three debates as county commissioner. So although I've been in a lot of debates, I don't see the value of them personally. I do them. You know, I'm just myself. I don't want to be somebody else. But, you know, my whole focus on the debate is to come out with exactly what I went in with. You know, support of my people and not embarrass myself and them too. So this one will be a different type of debate. It will be in Mobile Baldwin County viewing area. So you'll probably see a much stronger personality from both of us. You know, both of us will stand up and, you know, show our tough side, you know, how we can push back on one another, which I'm fine with that too. Barry and I do this every day. Think about it, on the floor. It's just a way of life for us. But we'll see. We'll do our best not to embarrass folks, and people will learn a little bit more about us and about, you know, our vision or direction we want to take the country or this district for sure.
I mean, we don't have to get into the specifics here, but I mean, my observation is there really are like real differences between the two Republican candidates. And it's not just, you know, because a lot of these Republican primaries, you get two candidates who probably are going to vote the same on every issue. They have the same, you know, cookie cutter talking point on the hot button issues, on abortion, et cetera, and so on and so forth. But with you and Congressman Moore, I mean, not that you are like wildly different, you know, in any way, but there are some distinctions between the two of you.
Well, I mean, I think so too, and I could make my case now, but, you know, I've always been, I call myself a trench lieutenant. Even with my own companies, I'd get out in the warehouse and on the docks, and I'd work with those guys. You know, and the reason I wanted to do it was to learn from them, try to figure out what we could do better, because if you go on a military base, the last person you want to make the rounds with is a two-star general. And what you do want is that old Christie. You know, sergeant's been bugged down about three or four times. He's the one you want to talk to show you what's wrong with the base. So, you know, I'm a hands-on kind of guy. I believe in team effort. Everybody, including our government, my Lord, everybody says, well, the Republican Party was. Republican problem with Republican Party is they're not working together. Working together means you don't get your way on everything. But, you know, we can get into that another time, but it gets frustrating because a team effort is, you know, you got a quarterback calling plays, you get out there, you know what your focus is. Your focus is to block, to tackle, to do whatever it is. That's the biggest difference between myself and Barry. And I want people to understand that, see that. I mean, in my district, I work with every elected official at some capacity, at some time over the last 3 years, period. If that's not the case, I would not have gotten 53 personal endorsements from all of them in a 48-hour period of time, I might add. It's a different story. Barry Madge is different. I mean, he's hands-off. He doesn't deal directly with the locals, elected officials. But I'm more of a team player. I need that feel. I need to know what's going on in the city and the county. I need to know what they're thinking. I need to know what their needs are. Again, it's like going out in the warehouse, working in the warehouse. You know, that's where the real work's done. You know, the real government's in your city and county government. So if you don't have a good relationship with them, and that doesn't happen overnight, you know, that takes time for them to learn you and understand who you are and trust you. But I think that's the biggest difference in us. We're alike in so many things.
A little bit.
We'll, go ahead.
Let me ask you this, and I know I'm in the talk radio bubble here, but what I hear a lot of my listeners, and I have no idea what this means, but I just want to get you to react to it. I hear that they want a fighter. Like, we want a fighter in Washington, D.C., and I wish I could define what that meant. I think it means different things to different people, but the criticism is that you're not a fighter. Like, what do you make of that?
I think the definition of a fighter is when you cut Fox News on, and the definition that has become, you cut the Fox News on, and you've got somebody, elected official on there arguing or making statements about issues of the day. And there's nothing wrong with that. But my personality is different. I don't have to run and tell the world what I'm doing. If I can get that and get it done and go back home and everybody live in peace and not be in fear of their government, not be in fear of what's going to happen the next day, I've succeeded in my mind. It is a bad world out there, and we've got some bad players. But, you know, I don't need to go to the border four or five times to tell you how bad it is at the border. You just burn up taxpayers' money. I can go down there one time and tell you all you know about the border. So that's my style, and I understand what you're saying. I wish somebody could clearly define what a fighter is, because while these fighters are on TV, while they're on the floor giving these bold speeches, I'm back in a committee somewhere trying to get a law changed or trying to put something in appropriation to pull the teeth out of it. And that, you know, that's a totally different mentality than, you know, being a fighter. Well, I'm a fighter. I'm a smart fighter, though.
It's tactical, right? But I guess the acknowledgement is this, though. You said, like, I think for a lot of people, it is a scary time in America. Like, I mean, And I know we demagogue every election cycle, and every election is the most important election of our lifetime, and so on and so forth. But I do think people see a president who's clearly got some issues. They're worried about, you know, what's the government going to do, especially coming out of COVID and the mandates and what the government's capable of doing. Like, would you acknowledge there is at least some element of fear in the system?
Oh, no doubt about it. There's plenty of fear out there. There's also fear. You know, we've got growing government. We've got inflation. I mean, just, you know, the average Joe buying a loaf of bread, you know, and feeding his family. I can remember my mother coming home crying. She'd written a bad check to buy bread for us. We lived down at the Loop, and I'll never forget that. That touched me. But there's tons of mothers out there that are writing bad checks and doing things that, that's unnatural or wrong to them to feed their children. You know, those are the people we represent. But, you know, Jeff, we as a society have got to start taking some responsibility all for that. And how do you do that? You vote. You don't like the way people are doing things? Vote them out. Go vote against them. You know, instead of getting 10 or 15, or I think the highest I've ever seen is probably 30% voting turnout. You know, we need people to get out and vote and express themselves. That's the way the system was set up. And that's all the politicians understand, I'm telling you. They're always looking at the votes. You know, it's just going to cost me votes. Am I going to pick up votes? So, you know, we the people have got to step up and take some responsibility in this country and say no. You know, push back on some of this crazy stuff.
Here, my observation over the years, and you talk about the low voter turnout, particularly in primaries, Congressman, I think people come out to vote in general elections, but we're a one-party state. I mean, for the most part, it's going to go Republican. But a lot of people look at these primary elections as kind of small potatoes to them. My parents are a perfect example. I mean, my dad listened to Rush Limbaugh religiously. My mom could tell you what color dress Martha McCallum is wearing on Fox News, but not really sure who their congressman is or their state senator or any of that. And that stuff just seems like just so nuanced and meaningless. And I think this is true for a lot of people. They don't get out and play in primaries. They wait till the general election because that's when they think your vote really, really, really counts.
Well, it's sad to say that the country, we're all guilty of this. We all fall back on social media. We all fall back on, you know, studying who the candidates are the last 2 months. You know, there's so many good people in D.C., and they just get hammered the last 3 or 4 weeks. Every group in the world that's got money to throw at them will do it. And it's no different between myself and my opponent. I'm sure we'll be in the same category. But, you know, if people would just try to keep up more with just their local politics, I'm telling you, local government is so important because when a mayor calls me, I stand at attention. Because if he calls me, he's telling me something.
Uh-oh, did we lose you there? Congressman?
Yes, sir.
I think we lost you the last, like, maybe 10 seconds or so.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm just, you know, how important the local government is. And folks, really, you don't have to study politics. Just read into some of it. Keep in mind social media. When you're dealing with social media, so much of that is fake. And your radio program, you'd be shocked at the people that stop me and say, "Hey, I heard you on the radio yesterday." I mean, the radio in South Alabama, I'll just speak for my district, it's huge. That's why I get so excited when I get a chance to get on your program. So people do listen. They are trying, and they're influential in their neighborhood and who they talk to. But we, the people, have got to stand up at some point in time, and today's a good day, and start getting ourselves educated and cast that vote. Because we do have tough times coming. I'm not playing down what's going on. But the average person wants to provide a living for their family. They want to go home and enjoy their family. They don't want to have to worry about Iran and Iraq and, you know, all these foreign countries. They depend on people like myself to do that. I know a lot. I talk very little about it. I don't want to scare people. It doesn't benefit anybody. Fear is not a good way to sell politics. It's just not been my way of doing it.
Congressman, real quick, we got to get out of here before I let you go. Folks want to know more about your campaign, get involved or any of that. How can they do so?
Yes, sir. Jerry Carr for Congress. Just go online, sign up for our newsletter, sign up to help us pass out literature, hang up signs. Do anything we can get you to do. We'll need all the free labor we can get.
Congressman, thanks for making time. We'll talk again soon.
Happy New Year's. Bye-bye.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We will be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.